Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. Good day to you, Alfred.
Hello, Melody.
Hi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hello. Nice to see you. Good to see you again.
We've been doing these programs for how? We've been doing programs for how long? In fact, every once in a while we used to do programs, what, 9, 10, you know, back quite a ways. And I have yet to hear you just say one word. Hey, well, you just don't stop at one word, Al.
Hello and blah, blah, blah. And then you didn't say anything, and I thought,
well, you just don't, you know, you go on. You elaborate, Al. But anyway, that's what makes you a radio host, right?
Oh, no. I only elaborate on things that are important.
Well, and saying hello to the audience is very important.
Well, the audience, you're the one that said hello to me.
I
said,
oh, and I'm not important, then.
Well, there's ideas out here. There's important ideas to be discussed, and they need a certain amount of elaboration.
All right, Al. All right. Well, let's get to gold. Gold is very important today. $12.92 down $4.60 today. It hit $12.84, had a high of $12.99. And I think once we take a look at the USDX, we'll see why it didn't stay at those lower numbers. However, silver decided to pull back down 26 at 1921, down 26 at 1928, did break through the 19. It went all the way to 1897. But she tried to come back, but stayed down 1.3%. Platinum was down $2 today at 1429. Palladium up to at 812, and the USDX today did come back a little bit. It was down 0.50. We're now looking at 0.31, 79.50. And crude oil today took a beating, down 1.45 at 99.83. And the paper markets today, to some degree, they rejoiced. The GDP numbers came out today, and that darn bad weather during winter
unseasonably cold in the wintertime. Who could have thought, possibly foreseen,
although
it might
was,
get cold?
It was a fairly horrendous winter, and anybody out in it, probably they weren't shopping, they were shoveling. But you had the Dow up 45 points today at 16,580. You had the NASDAQ up 11 at 41,14. The S&P up 5 at 1883. 10-year yield, 2.65, down 0.05. And, of course, they released the first quarter GDP numbers of 2014 and 0.1%. The U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reported today. And, of course, this is just an estimate. They have an opportunity to change it, up to three times before they get the real number, which always just amazes me. And that is certainly, we haven't seen this number since the June of 2009. They've been reporting the rate of growth at about 2 to 3% per year since then. And again, everybody just think it's temporary. Take it with a grain of salt. Brett Ryan said of the U.S. Economist for Deutsche Bank, it's certainly not a good report, but there's plenty of evidence of a weather impact. And, of course, we certainly had slumps in housing and business investment on equipment were the main drivers behind the weak performance. But now, how do you view this? People are still buying. Consumer spending continues to be the bright spot, growing at a 3% annual pace. They shelled out more money on health care.
Health care?
Yep.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yep.
Now, how can that be? We Obamacare is going into effect now, and that's supposed to make health care affordable and presumably less expensive for all of us, and people are spending more on health care. How do you explain that, Melody?
Well, I can't imagine spending more on health care and spending more on utilities is really going to help the economy.
Not evidence.
Even though they're shelling out more money and are spending more money, it's going to health care and it's going to the utilities. And, of course, they're blaming on consumers spending more on utilities also because of the cold temperatures.
What month is this now?
But
April?
They did cut back on clothing. They did cut back on household furnishings. And they did cut back on eating out at restaurants. So certainly not a very clear picture of what's going on. Did you get my little weather-related pun there, Claire?
No, I don't think it was clear. I don't think it wasn't clear to me. But it seems clear to me that if people are spending more on utilities because of unseasonably cold weather, why didn't they spend more on warm clothes in unseasonably warm or cold weather?
It's too cold.
Riddle me that, Melody.
It was too cold to go out.
Ah, too cold to go shopping for clothes. So you just turned out the thermostat. That was our solution to the unseasonably cold weather. It's clear to me that someone needs to do something. Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody's doing anything about it, except the people that are spraying, I don't know, whatever they've got in the jets that they're spraying overhead to reflect solar radiation. And then there's HAARP. HAARP is apparently doing something about the weather, but it's not enough. We can't have anything other than seasonable. It's got to be just what it's supposed to be. Whatever it's supposed to be for the spring, fall, summer, and winter, it's got to be just exactly that. And if it goes too hot, goes too cold, somebody needs to be fined. Somebody needs to be made to pay for that because they're threatening our economy.
Also, we had the ADP, the private payroll processor. They released their report today prior to the Friday's number for the private sector, adding 220,000 jobs this month. So we'll have to see. And supposedly, that's the strongest job growth since November. So we'll just have to see what the official jobs report is that is coming out on Friday. And so everyone is holding their breath. You might not see a lot of change in the markets. Of course, today's Wednesday until Friday, until this number comes out. In the meantime, the Federal Reserve, of course, did the same thing. They're going to continue on the pullback of the bond purchasing in a wait-and-see mode. They're certainly going to keep borrowing rates low. Very little change there. And they'll be pulling back on their bond purchasing, tapering. They will be doing their tapering. And the latest round is expected to reduce bond purchases to around $45 billion a month. So,
I've got one here from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is reported at CNS News. And apparently it's evidence of our strengthening economy. And the headline is, in 20% of American families, no one works. In 20% of American families in 2013, according to new data released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, not one member of the family worked. All right? And they go on with definitions and whatever of families. But there are 80 million families in the United States, and 16 million of them, 20%, no one had a job. So what does that mean? It means jobs. It must mean that jobs are becoming increasingly optional. You don't have to work to support yourself. You can get by without working in this country, and that must be because things are just going so great. The economy is so strong, we don't even have to work anymore, Melody. This has moved the consumer economy another giant step forward, where all we have to do is consume, but we never have to produce. So, time for celebration.
Well, if things were so good, you have I saw some headlines today where they're looking. The homeless are certainly becoming a problem. You know, not too long ago, we reported on how great things were in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and so forth. But yet, here in areas of California, they're having a homeless problem. So things are just so out of whack. There's people that are certainly being damaged and hurt by the misrepresentation of the reports out of Washington. And then you have the other side. There is such a gap anymore, and that gap is the loss of the middle class, the loss of the in-between.
Well, you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to be sure what's going on, because you're always tempted to believe what the government tells you. And you wind up subject to the big lie phenomena that was discussed by Hitler's propaganda, head chief of propaganda, and I can't think of his name anymore, but he said if you tell a big lie, people will believe it. Little lies, they don't believe it. Big lies, they believe it. It's relatively easy, and that understanding, I'm sure, is not unfamiliar to our American political leaders. Just give us big lies, and we wind up being foolish enough to trust the politicians and leaders that give us those big lies. Over time, we become skeptical, but we're inclined to trust. And that's one of the dangerous, that's one of our dangerous characteristics. We're inclined to trust what the government tells us, and it's a great vulnerability. You know, if you have a government who is not trustworthy, and you are a people that are inclined to trust, it opens the door for a lot of exploitation and misunderstandings and misleading statements and outright lies, and they get away with it. And it leaves people who pay attention to this a little bit bewildered, because you just don't know who you can trust. Whose opinion of what's happening do you believe? And if you can't get solid information, how can you prepare for what may be coming in the future? You know, they say people who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Well, we talk about that as if we're talking about what happened in the 1930s or what happened in the late 18th century when we had our Declaration of Independence. We've got to learn from history. We have to learn also from what's going on right now. How much are we learning when the government reports what the inflation rate, the unemployment rates are? Are we learning anything? Or are we being deceived? And not on the basis of, gee, you don't, this guy is ignorant because he doesn't understand what happened during the American Revolution. No, we have people that are ignorant because we can't even find out what's going on right now. How do you judge? How do you prepare yourself for the future if you don't even know what's happening right now? You see what I'm saying? It's not just about don't understand what happened during World War II. You know, it's hard to understand what happened this week. And all of that instability, to my mind, is simply conducive for an ultimate sudden collapse. Certainly a sudden decline. Just because people finally run out of faith. They run out of trust. They sit back and say, I don't know what's going on, and I'm not going to do anything until I find out. And then all of a sudden we have a sudden downturn in the economy. Now, whether that downturn... It is reported. There's the question, Melody. Suppose we had a significant downturn in the economy. Would the government admit it? Or would they continue to assure us that everything is just as wonderful as it's been for the past couple of years? Would they admit it? I think they probably would, but it'll only be reluctantly. And even then, it won't be completely. They might admit we had a 10% downturn if we had a 20% downturn.
Well, they'll admit it, but they'll also tell you you're coming out of it. I mean, just how many recessions do we actually have? Do we actually truly come out of?
Yeah, I know. The recovery recovery is either here or it's just around the corner. And we know that because 20% of the people in this country don't, 20% of the families in this country don't have any jobs. You know, I mean, realistically, we're talking about 20% of the people are either thieves or congressmen or welfare recipients. They don't have any jobs. How can that be? It just points to a distortion. Something unreasonable, irrational is taking place. How long can that continue? How long can we live in a world where 20% of the families don't have jobs? There's no breadwinner. There's no father who's going out and earning enough money to support the family. There's no mother who's earning enough to support the family. They're just kicking back and getting by without having to work. Can't continue. I guarantee it can't continue. And I'll also guarantee that those Americans who think they're getting over right now by not having to work are going to reach a moment at some point in the future when they're going to wish to God they had a job, point one, and they're going to wish to God they knew how to work, because if you're going to lay off and you're not going to work for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, you lose your ability. I can't say you lose your ability to work, but it's certainly diminished to a significant degree. We're going to take a break now for some commercial announcements. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Mr. Phil Hudak. He is the Constitution Party's candidate for United States Senator in West Virginia. Please stay tuned. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Boop.
prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners that we're going to continue this special of a Silver Eagle with all orders. And we have great buys on Silver Eagles, 275 over spot. And, of course, I just want to know those of you who picked up the $5 Liberty gold pieces, they're doing extremely well. From even though we've had this pullback in gold, they have actually gone up. Those who picked up the Mint State 63 $5 Liberty gold pieces, they didn't go down at all. So very good buys for all of you who picked those up. And for those who don't have any or you would like to accumulate some more to your portfolio, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, the programs are archived there on a daily and monthly basis. So thank you all for your support. And I'm pleased to welcome Phil Hudock to the program. He is a Constitution Party candidate for U.S. Senator for West Virginia. And welcome to the program.
Alfred and Melody, hello. A big hello from West Virginia. The Mountaineers are supposed to be always free state.
Well, big hello back to the Mountaineers. We're glad to have you, Bill.
Right.
Well, running for Senate.
I was going to say, I don't know about the Beltway, but in West Virginia, we do not have a strengthening economy.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't think we do anywhere. I can't say anywhere, but across the country, you know, most of, if they can point to any strength at all, it's pretty mild. It's the sort of thing where it might be picking up a little bit, but it, even though it picks up in places, and we see some positive, we get positive reports on some parts of the economy, still it appears that overall the economy, there are also parts where we get negative reports. There are, and on balance, I don't think we're gaining a lot. If we're gaining anything, we're not gaining a lot. What do you think the Constitution Party can do to help the economy?
Can I ask Phil a quick question before you answer that one, Phil? West Virginia's been damaged heavily due to the closure of the coal mines by this administration. Am I correct? Or?
Oh, you're very correct. The southern West Virginia especially. And I've built a seven-foot talking Obama head that I use in my campaign just to expose the appointment for the New World Order. And I'm kind of afraid to take him down there because those people are so upset with him. You know, he didn't take one county in the state of West Virginia this last election. He didn't take one county. And yet he took Virginia, so go figure that one.
Well, I can. Apparently, you don't have your ballot boxes aren't rigged to the same extent they are in other parts of the country. What do you think the Constitution Party can do to help the economic climate here in the United States?
Sure. Well, the biggest problem we have is we have a Constitution, but we're not following it. We haven't had constitutional wars. We don't have constitutional money. Obamacare is unconstitutional. We have the NDAA, which is an unconstitutional infinite detention of people. We don't have the rule of law. And if you don't have the rule of law, you don't have anything. And I'm proud to be the chairman of the West Virginia Constitution Party because we put the Constitution where it should be. And, you know, it's God, family, and Constitution. God, family, and country. And, of course, without the Constitution, you have no country. So, I've run for office before, and I'm running for the infamous Rockefeller seat. And most folks know how the Rockefellers fit into globalism and fit into the present state of affairs that we're in. So I'm excited to battle for that seat. Against the person that I ran against in a past election, and she never debated me. She's the daughter of an ex-governor, and the only time we were actually together was when the Charleston Daily Mail had an editorial board interview the candidates, and at that time I held up a $20 St. Gaudens gold piece, and I said, "This is constitutional money." And I said, "This is worth today in buying power what it was worth when it was minted in the 30s. And what was really interesting was Shelley Moore Capito, who will probably be the Republican nominee, from the primaries, she made the statement to the editorial board that, well, she didn't understand the Constitution as well as I did. Now, I wish they'd have printed that.
Well, it's one of the things that's hard to understand, and it gives rise for conspiracy theories in this regard. Why doesn't everyone have a better understanding of the Constitution? Because the truth is the vast majority. I make you a bet that not more than 5% of the people in this country have ever read the Constitution, even, you know, to any significant degree. And that doesn't, I don't mean that they're constitutional scholars. I mean they at least recognize parts of it, and they may not have understood most of what they read.
Well,
but the truth of the matter is we should be teaching kids the Constitution. Right. It should be mandated. Any school you want federal aid, fine. You better have a program to teach the Constitution to the kids and start them out in first grade.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have federal aid, okay? And I'm a retired school teacher. I taught 40 years. My field is physics. And, in science, we have cause and effect. If you see an effect, you look for a cause. Okay, and I saw the country going down the tubes, and I started looking for a cause. And yes, you're right. We do not teach our children about their true Christian heritage, the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And instead of a melting pot, this country has turned into a pot that's melting. Okay, I'd like to read you a quote, and this is amazing. This is by Senator John Glenn, okay, and this is July 16th, 1996, and they were having committee hearings on a bill to require Congress to specify for each new law which section of the Constitution gives it authority to pass the law. And here's what John Glenn said. Why, if we had to do that, we could not pass most of the laws we enact around here. And then he went on to talk about the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, American with Disabilities Act. And he declared, quote, "Americans just want us to solve America's problems of health and safety and not be concerned if they can be constitutionally justified." So you know, our downward slide goes way back, and to think that a hero, a national hero, John Glenn, had such flagrant disregard for our Constitution is mind-boggling.
And it's probably not an aberration. He is probably admitting what every congressman knows but is generally taught not to talk about. They don't pay much attention to the Constitution.
Right,
they are just
exactly.
passing laws, and they don't even read the laws that they vote on, which means they're not actually legislating. They're only brokering laws. Someone comes in, hands them a law, and they say, here's an extra amount of money. I don't know how much it costs to get a law passed in this country, but other people outside of Congress are writing laws. They are submitting them to Congress, and presumably with a big campaign contribution for whoever fronts the law, and then whoever is fronting brokers the law. They don't legislate. We're going to hire people like whoever is going to be the next senator from West Virginia. The reason we vote for a man is because we believe that he has a system of values pretty much like our own. We vote for the candidate who thinks most. I vote for the candidate who thinks most like me. And therefore, and the reason I do that is I presume that if this particular candidate is like me, then he will vote the same way I would vote when he reads the law. Somebody proposes a law, he picks it up, he reads it, he considers it, and then because his system of values is most like mine, he will do pretty much what I would do if I was sitting in his if I were there in his position. That's why we vote for candidates, because they have that system of values like our own. If the elected representatives don't even read the laws they are voting for or against, what difference does it make what their system of values is? I've said this on the program before. It doesn't matter. We can send up child molesters. We can send up serial killers. We can send up chimpanzees. If they won't read the law, who cares? And the next question is,
yeah.
If they don't read the law, how do they know whether to vote for or against a particular law? And the answer is because somebody tells them. And whoever tells them how to vote, that's who they truly represent up there in the Congress and the Senate.
Absolutely. It's a big machine, and I think George Carlin said it best. He said, it's a club, and you're not in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you a question, though, back to what his comment was, his statement. The people, that's all they want them to do anyway. The people, do the people really care? The people want what they want. They think, and you're right, Al, they're sending the politician with some belief that they might do something for them, but it seems like everybody wants something.
Well, see, nobody cares about this over the past...
No, that's my point.
...several decades, because we had everything we wanted.
Right.
We had a house, we had food, we had a car, right. We got pretty much what we wanted out of
right.
the economy, and therefore we didn't much care what Congress did. Now that we're running out of toys, we're going to start paying more attention, and we're going to say, wait a second, what are you guys up to?
Well, we get the government we tolerate. And,
yeah.
You know, one would hope that it wouldn't get so bad that it can't be fixed. And I can tell you this, that taking around this big 7-foot talking, smoke ring blowing Obama head, the people of West Virginia, a lot of them it's come home to roost. They're starting to feel the pain. They realize that this man is anti-Christian, anti-family, anti-Constitution. He's anti-American. And, you know, 4 years ago, I couldn't have done this because, you know, people were still snookered. But they're not. A lot of people are waking up. Do we have a critical mass? Can we save the country? All I know is I have four daughters. You know, I want them to have a future. I've been in battles. I've been to the state Supreme Court. I've been fired from my job for fighting the police state. Fortunately, I've won twice in the Supreme Court. I think when people look at candidates, don't look at what they say. Look at what they've done. Look at their convictions. Will they stick to their convictions? Because when they get in that big machine in Washington D.C., it's going to take a lot for them to stay the course if they're on the right course. You follow me?
I do follow you, and I think part of the reason I think that's true is because we are tending to elect people to Congress and the Senate who are actually, they may be charismatic candidates. They may be likable. They may be vital. They may be a bunch of things, but I think they're too young to actually hold the office.
Well, I'm
64. You need candidates that are older, and they have an appreciation for a lot of what we're talking about on this program. Young people, I didn't appreciate much of the information we're talking about when I was, you know, in my 20s and 30s. I think you've got to put some years on. You said, wait a second, there are important things here. This is not a game.
Well, you know, I've been fighting the New World Order for at least two decades, and I can say that I'm much more prepared now than I was 5 years ago and even several years ago, because it's taken a lot of anti-brainwashing. It's taken a lot of study. It's taken a lot of experience to get to where I can talk about these things in an educated manner, and I can show where we are, who got us here, and why we're here, you know. But let me just say this, because it's very important, because at one point I thought I understood the New World Order, and I really didn't until I found out it was a spiritual battle, too, that there is a dark side, that there are people who serve the dark side, and most people can't wrap their head around people being that dark, because they're not, you know. Ted Bundy is hard to imagine. But you have to be serving demonic spirits to be a Ted Bundy. I think it does take older people, but certainly people that haven't been brainwashed by the system. And unfortunately, I see a lot of people who grew up in a time when the United States was much different, but because of the media, and because they've been with the wrong crowd and not really studied it, they've slowly been acclimated into the police state that we're in and accepting it.
Yeah, we've come to accept a lot of this, and if you don't accept it, because most of us are ignorant about these subjects, even if you don't accept what's happening, you wind up bewildered, and you wind up caught in a circumstance where you think, what can we do? It's as if we are facing a force that is so overpowering that there's nothing we can do. Now, is it true? We've got 30 seconds before we take our next break, Phil, but why don't you just touch on that for 30 seconds? Is it too late, or is there something we can do? Can this be saved?
Actually, you know, one can contemplate that question, but the real bottom line is duty is ours, consequences are his. If we believe in an almighty God, if we believe in an afterlife, if we believe that there is punishment and reward, and if we believe that we're children of God, then we don't have any choice. You know, the founders of this country were up against the biggest army in the world. Everybody, they shouldn't have had a chance. But that was not the point. That was not the point.
They did their duty, and here we are. Now it's up to do our duty. It's also up to us to break and take some commercial announcements. And Melody and I and our guest Phil Huddock will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Mr. Phil Huddock, who is Constitution Party's candidate for United States Senator from West Virginia. And we've got problems in this country. Anyone can see that. Are those problems fundamentally economic? Are the problems fundamentally legal? Or are the problems fundamentally moral in a spiritual or religious sense?
Well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in the end times there'll be a one-world government, a one-world monetary system, and a one-world religion. And so I think that's, those are the fronts that we are battling on. And neglect any one of those would be wrong. Let me tell you a success story. This is fantastic. A good friend of mine here in West Virginia, and I said, I've been fighting the New World Order establishment for two decades. He's been fighting it for four decades. And he was involved back in the 70s when they had a big textbook battle which erupted in the United States. And it started right here in West Virginia in Kanawha County. And there were actually people got shot. There were people who got run over. And it had to do with the populace fighting the textbooks. The textbooks, they were upset that the textbooks were anti-Christian, and you know, we're in the Bible Belt here in West Virginia, but here's what Gene Stonecker did, which I think is fantastic. He told the West Virginia tax department that he would pay his taxes only in gold and silver, and that's all he would pay his taxes. And they went round and round, and finally the West Virginia State Tax Department said, we are just no longer going to communicate with you. So basically he's off the tax rolls now, because he told them he would pay them in constitutional money, either gold or silver, and they've actually decided to just drop him like a hot potato.
Why do you suppose that is?
because our Constitution says that gold and silver are money, you know, Article 1, Section 8, you know.
Section 10, Clause 1.
Yeah.
Article
yeah,
1, Section 10, Clause 1 says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt.
Yes, so he forced the issue. It's just like when I was teaching, let's see, in 1999, I forced the issue and wouldn't enforce barcoded IDs because I said that was leading us into a police state, which we can certainly see now. And, you know, it caused me to get fired, but the Rutherford Institute that took the Paula Jones case against Bill Clinton took my case, and it went to the state Supreme Court, and I won. So, you know, it was just a little battle in the big war, but it is fun to win once in a while.
Well, I understand, and we do see victories. I mean, if you're looking close, you're not going to find out about them in the mainstream media, but they're around. Sometimes victories take place with just court cases that are dropped, in the sense, the example that you illustrated, a friend of yours, he insisted on paying in gold and silver, and they just said, well, we're not going to talk to you anymore. That's a victory, but did you see it in the mainstream news?
Oh, absolutely not. And with my campaign, because I'm not corporate sponsored, and I'm basically self-financed. I have got a few small amount of funds in to help my campaign, which is, you know, a statewide U.S. Senate campaign. So I'm fighting a very non-traditional battle. I have a non-traditional campaign. I basically get in, do guerrilla journalism. I get in people's faces and make them interview me when they wouldn't otherwise, and the media wants to just ignore me, but I'm not going to let that happen. So, you know, being a physics teacher, I built this big head. I've got a big head. Of course, we know Obama's a narcissist, so, you know, it takes a big head. And I take him around the state on a flatbed trailer. He's been in parades, festivals. He talks. It's all Obama's quotes, you know, about 50 or 60 of them, like, you know, you have a business, you didn't build that, and, you know, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, all these lies, and so, you know, I don't have to make up anything. He says it all, and, you know.
So you're attracting attention. So you're attracting attention.
Oh, absolutely. It's
in an
it's
unconventional
phenomenal.
Way.
Yeah, and that's what I have to do, you know. At one point, the number one talk show host in West Virginia told me I couldn't win. He said, well, you can't win. I asked him, are you going to interview me? Because I said I ran against this person before and got on the ballot through ballot access. And he said, well, you can't win. And, well, we just had a lot of people call all his affiliated stations. And then we caught him with a microphone and a camera in our hands and asked him again in while he was being recorded. And guess what? 3 days later, I had an interview, and it's on my website. It's a fantastic interview, you know. So, it's non-traditional, but it's working, and that's why I love going on programs and, you know, talking to you and Melody, and there are a lot of good people around the country. We're in the minority, but you know, we have to start brush fires, lots of them.
I understand. One of the issues you've talked about is the difference between fair trade and free trade. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
Right. Well, you can't have free trade when you're trading with countries like China, okay? They have slave labor. Now, if we want to have slave labor, okay, let's just have free trade. You know, our country before the income tax was moneyed by tariffs, which were basically ways to protect our country. You know, we say we have a military to protect our country. Well, what about a financial war against our country, you know? And that's what the tariffs were all about. So, you know, I believe in trade, but fair trade, and fair trade has to, you know, you can't just open the gates of a lock or a dam because water's going to go downhill. What you have to do is equalize the playing field in some way, and certainly using tax money to give tax incentives to businesses to move out of the country, that's crazy.
It depends on what you're looking for. If you are engaged in treason, if you are engaged in the intentional destruction of the country, actually it makes pretty good sense. On the other hand, if you are representing people, you've taken an oath of office, and you really do want to represent the best interests of the American people, then you should not be moving our jobs to foreign countries. whole thing Absolutely. Is, it's just shocking, really, and nobody pays much attention. And it's not a new thing. We were warned, Ross Perot, I think this goes back to 1992. He said, if you pass NAFTA, there'll be a giant sucking sound as the jobs disappear out of this country. He was wrong in this regard. There wasn't a giant sucking sound, but the jobs did disappear out of this country. And no one, we were warned, but we didn't pay attention. And now here we are.
Absolutely. I'd like to share something with you, and then I'm going to give my website and my Facebook page. But the power to tax is the power to destroy. And I heard about this term on shortwave years ago, and I have several Black's Law dictionaries, and I'm sure you're familiar with Black's Law Dictionary. And I have a 1933 edition. It's the third edition of Black's Law Dictionary. And the term is riot tenure, R-Y-O-T hyphen tenure. Now listen to the definition of this term. It's a system of land tenure where the government takes the place of landowners and collects the rent by means of tax gatherers. Farming is done by poor peasants, riots, who find the capital so far as there is any and also do the work. The system exists in Turkey, Egypt, Persia, and other Eastern countries, and in a modified form in British India. After slavery, it is accounted the worst of all systems because the government can fix the rent at what it pleases, and it is difficult to distinguish between rent and taxes. So, you know, basically, we fought a revolutionary war because of a tax rate that was a whole lot lower. And probably the government wasn't any more oppressive and maybe even less oppressive than the government we have now. So we have more oppressive.
Absolutely.
You know, and we have higher taxes. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? You know?
And it's a challenging question because it doesn't just involve changing the government. It involves changing the people. People listening
right.
to this program... People like myself and Melody, we have to make choices to change ourselves as a prerequisite to changing the government. We've got to appreciate liberty more so than we have in the past.
Right. You have to get yourself right first. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting a package from UPS right now, so if you hear dogs barking or something, I'm outside, but I'm with you.
Well, it's maybe if we hear the dog barking, sometimes that's Melody's dog, Ruby, also. So we have kind of an equal opportunity program here for anybody who's got dogs. If your dog wants to bark on radio, this is the program.
Okay. Well, I did want to give my website and my Facebook page. And my website is hudok.com. And I produce videos, as Melody knows, because she's been to seminars where I've produced the seminar. And so I've made videos of Mr. Obama head in parades, in festivals. My website has lots of information. And people shouldn't take my word for anything. They should research it. Everyone needs to research. God gave you a brain. Use it. And the Facebook page is Mr. Obama head. So my website is hudok.com, hudok.com, and my website is Mr. Obama head.
How is the Constitution Party being received in West Virginia? Is it growing? Is it holding its own? What's happening to the Constitution Party?
We're actually growing. The Democrat Party is really losing. I've been to numerous Tea Party meetings, and the Republicans have declared war on the Tea Party because the Tea Party is what the Republicans should be but aren't.
Yep.
And so third parties are actually gaining. The Constitution Party, I'm the chairman, and we're working at it real hard. We're not big, but we have a lot of dedicated, hardworking people. And we have great plans, and we're working hard.
Is this the year for third parties, or is this a year where we're laying the foundation for our third parties going to be significant this year or in 2016? At what point? I don't doubt the public is moving more. We're thinking, we've had enough of the Republicans, had enough of the Democrats. We're beginning to think about the third party. When do you think they're going to peak?
Good question. And to be honest with you, at first, the plan of me running for Senate was to build name recognition. And because in West Virginia, to get permanent ballot access, statewide ballot access, you have to run for governor, period. You have to run for governor, and you have to get, it was 2% of the, of however many people voted, you have to get that many petitions, okay? Now, right now, for U.S. Senate, I have to get over 6,000 signed petitions, to get on the ballot. And I've done it in the past. I was on the ballot for U.S. House in the last cycle against the same person that I'm running against now because she's running for U.S. Senate. And, you know, it's a battle because it's going to take me all summer to get those petitions. So because this is a Democratic state, and really the Republicans and the Democrats work together as far as trying to keep it a two-party system. So they make it really, really tough, you know, for third parties. That's where we
are. They don't want them, would we be better off to have no parties and just have individuals run for office without being affiliated with a particular party, and we only had to evaluate the man or the woman as just what you got?
Well, it's funny. I was recently, my daughter got an award at a college, and we were having a banquet dinner. And I was sitting next to the history professor who had been one of my daughter's professors. And we were talking about the election. And he said, this is going to be an interesting one that I'm in because it's going to be two females running against myself. At least that's the way it looks at this point. And he said something about it's a shame we don't have a parliamentary system where even if I wouldn't get a majority of the vote and wouldn't get elected, I would still have some say in you know, how much representation would be in the government. In other words, that's how, you know, right now it's winner take all, you know.
We have to deal with the system that we've got and
right.
Change it as best we can or use it as best we can. But we are out of time, Phil. I want to thank you for appearing on the program. This is Mr. Phil Hudak, who is running as Constitution Party candidate for Senate, U.S. Senator from West Virginia. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. Until we return, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Phil Hudak.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Phil.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.